service. And for now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Joshua. We'll be in chapter 10 tonight. Joshua chapter 10. And whenever you find that, again, it's going to stand as we read. Now, we're going to cover the entire chapter tonight. It's really one episode. For the sake of our reading, we'll hit the high points. Joshua chapter 10. Now, if you remember last week, Israel made that pact with Gibeon, remember? And they shouldn't have done that, but they gave their word, and they invoked God's name in their word, and they had to keep their word. And so now, it's coming. Is that rain? Wow. Nice. If we lose power, I'm just going to keep going, okay? Everyone get your phones ready, your flashlights, and okay, all right, here we go. So, Joshua chapter 10. Okay, so yes, so they made that pact, and now we're going to see the ramifications of that in God's grace even through all of it. So anyway, verse 1 of chapter 10. Now it came to pass when Adoni Zedek, he's the king of Jerusalem. He had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, and he had done, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. So this king of Jerusalem is seeing the pact that was made with Gibeon. Now verse 2, and they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, and one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. And so this pact that they made with Gibeon, they didn't realize who they were, but found out they're a mighty city. And now they're servants to Israel, and the king of Jerusalem has taken notice of this, okay? All right, verse 3. Wherefore, Adonizedek, my goodness, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horam, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhiah, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon. So he's making this pact with the other kings of the Amorites, okay? And so we can, for it have made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings, that's the kings we just named, of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal. So now Gibeon's calling on Joshua and their pact, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Now verse 8 is important. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. And so here's what happens from here on out. We'll kind of go through it as we go. But God basically is with them, and God helps them to defeat all of these kings. I want to look at one more verse, and then we'll stop our reading here. Let's see, verse 14. There is no day like that before it or after it, and we'll explain that in a second, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. And here's the crux of this whole episode. For the Lord fought for Israel. The Lord fought for Israel. And we'll see that unfold. It's a pretty exciting story, what God did. And we serve that same God who fought for Israel. And so the title of our message tonight is this. God will fight your battle, so go fight your battle. What? I'll explain that to you. God will fight your battle, so go fight your battle. Let's pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being a God who is capable of handling the battles of our life. Help us, God, to trust you with them. Help us, Lord, to be emboldened by your power, your love for us, your grace. And help us, Lord, because of who you are, to go with confidence to fight the battles before us. We love you. Pray that you bless your word tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Here we go. Amen. May be seated. So we kind of read and kind of went slow through this, but the king of Jerusalem, that guy Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, he heard about that pact between Gibeon and Israel. Now, not only had he heard about that, but he heard about what Israel has done to Jericho, what Israel has done to Ai, and so they've been tracking this. And no doubt they heard about the crossing of the Jordan River. And so the king of Jerusalem, you can imagine, is watching this happen and watching this army cross the Jordan on dry ground and take Jericho, the great walled city, and then take Ai. And now he heard about the pact that they made with Gibeon. And we said this, that he said that they were greater than Ai, Gibeon was. They defeated Ai, and that was impressive. But now they come to Gibeon, and now they have taken Gibeon as slaves. That's how the king of Jerusalem is seeing it. Now, they should not have done that, but they did. They made that pact with Gibeon. And although they were swindled by Gibeon and tricked into this pact, it does still say a lot about the might of Israel, doesn't it? That this city has come and said, I know we can't defeat you, so we'll be your servants. And what makes it even more impressive is apparently Gibeon was a strong city. And if you look at verse 2, they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. And so it was a powerful city. And they were, even though they were one of the more powerful cities in Canaan, knew and understood the might of Israel, but really we understand the might of God, right? And so from the eyes of the king of Jerusalem, they're becoming nervous. The king of Jerusalem is nervous. The city of Jerusalem and their army is nervous about all of that. And so he came up with this plan. And he wanted to make a statement. That was the plan. He wanted to make a statement about this thing of Gibeon and the pact they made with Israel. There's a couple of things they wanted to accomplish with this, the king of Jerusalem. One, he wanted to make a statement because he saw Gibeon as traitors, right? Gibeon being a city of Canaan. Now, the cities of Canaan weren't always friendly with each other, but they were all Canaanites. And Gibeon has become a traitor to the land of Canaan because they have joined the enemy, right? And so the king of Jerusalem, he goes to the other kings of the Amorites. Now the Amorites is the southern part of Canaan. It's the city, it's the part where the mountains were. It's a very big part of Canaan land. And so there's five kings that he goes to four, so there's five total. But the king of Jerusalem goes to the four other kings of the Amorites and says, hey guys, we need to join forces and we need to make a statement out of Gibeon. We need to make an example out of Gideon. Gibeon, if I say Gideon, I mean Gibeon, okay? With the B. Not Gideon the other guy, okay? So they make this pact and they say, we're going to make an example out of Gibeon. Maybe he thought Israel would not protect them. I don't know what his thinking was on that, but he wanted to go and take care of Gibeon. Maybe the might of the five cities combined would keep Israel from defending them. I don't know. It doesn't say, but it does say that they made war against Gibeon and to make a statement about that. But they also wanted to make a statement to Israel about their power. And so Israel, you think you can come in here and take cities as your slaves? No, sir. We're not letting it happen. And so they were hoping that if they can defeat Gibeon and take this slave force from Israel, they would make a statement even to Israel. And so he comes up with this plan, and the five kings of the Amorites, from now on we'll just say the armies of the Amorites, they come together, they join forces to fight against Israel. So when the armies of the Amorites come to Gibeon, the men of Gibeon send for Joshua, right? And they call on the pact. If you look in verse 6, and the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Remember us? We're your servants, and we'll serve you all of our days, but you need to protect us. And they say, come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. And so we see in verse 7 that immediately Joshua goes, he sends the army of Israel. Now as we read through this, it says Joshua ascended. We know it wasn't just Joshua, right? Joshua and his army ascend, and they go to face these men. They were obligated to fight on the behalf of Gibeon because of that pact. Remember, they made that pact in the name of God. Remember, we said last time that if they were to break that pact, they would invite God's judgment. And so we have these five kings of the Amorites come in, and that's scary and that's maybe intimidating. But more intimidating than that is the judgment of God. Okay? And so Joshua doesn't even think twice about it. He's going to keep his word, keep the pact he made in God's name, and they start immediately down to defend Gibeon. And so they needed to keep that pact because of that. They needed to keep their pact because they wanted to be people of integrity who do what they said they would do. And yes, they were tricked, but they said they would do it, and so they left to defend Gibeon. And more than that, verse 8 tells us this, that Joshua spoke to God about it. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. Who's them? The armies of the Amorites. Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Good. All right? So now they're doing the right thing. They're keeping their pact. And more than that, God is on their side. They really are on God's side, aren't they? And God is going to be with them, and he has already promised them victory. And they know what that means. They've seen God do it over and over again. And so they're entering into this battle. Yes, maybe they shouldn't have been in this place, right? They shouldn't have been in this situation where they have to defend Gibeon, but there's nothing they can do about that, right? Where they are now, and the right thing to do now is to defend Gibeon. And sometimes we get ourselves in pickles, don't we? And we make decisions we ought not to make. And sometimes we don't trust God, and we do things we ought not to have done. And some of those things that we do cannot be undone. They can't go unmake the pact, right? But we ought not to live our life looking in the past and wishing we would have done things differently. That's done. That's over. God has forgiven them for that. And now they are where they are. And the right next step now is to defend Gibeon. And God's hand of blessing is on this. No, God is not saying, good job making a pact with Gibeon. That's not it. But God recognizes it is done. It is forgiven. And God's grace, listen, God's grace is powerful enough to still work in your life, even when you're facing the consequences of past decisions. And as you do right from the point you're at now forward, God's hand can still bless, and God can still work in a mighty way. And we're going to watch God work in a mighty way in a position they ought not to have been in the first place. But that doesn't shorten God's hand. Okay. And so God says, you don't worry about these guys. I have already given you the victory. And so with God's blessing, Joshua's army traveled all night. In verse 9, be quiet. Verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. So they traveled through the night, and now suddenly they have surprise attack against these armies of the Amorites. Okay? The verse 10 says this, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-Horon, and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And so when they get there, again, they have that surprise attack. They come in probably still nighttime, maybe early morning, and they come, and the kings of the Amorites are not expecting them. Surprise attack against the Amorites, and the Bible says that God discomfited them. That means he confused them. They weren't ready for this, first of all. But it was more than just Joshua's good strategy here to go through the night and catch them in the morning. It was partly that, but it was mostly this. God confused them. And now I want you to notice this. Joshua is taking action, but God's doing it. This is the pattern we need to notice and recognize tonight. We take action as we follow God. We take action, but God does it. We take action, but God does it. We take action because we know God will do it. But it still requires us to take action. And so Joshua, they travel all night. It would not have been easy, but they did that. And God confused the Amorites. Are you following? Okay. And because of that, they were able to slaughter a lot of the army. They had a great first skirmish, I guess. And they slaughtered a lot of the army. And so the army begins to flee. And so as they're running from the army, look in verse 11. It came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. And they were more which died with the hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. And so Israel goes in, that surprise attack, they're confused, and they slaughter a lot themselves, but it wasn't themselves, right? They were able to have such victory because God confused them, and then God sends hailstones. And Joshua had nothing to do with that, right? And this is how it works when you follow God. You take action, God does it, but then God's also going to do some stuff that you just could not have done anything about. There's no way they could have planned that hailstones would fall right here at that time and slaughter the Amorites, but not slaughter Joshua and his people. God did that fully, you see? And that's how it is as you follow God. And sometimes we want to take credit for things that God does because we have a hand in it. But really, you didn't do anything. God did it. And so there's sometimes when you're following God, it looks like you had your hand in it, but you really didn't. God's the one who confused them. But then there's other times where you didn't even know what God was going to do, and he just does some stuff. This is how God fights our battles. Okay. And so more were slain by the hailstones than with the sword. But that combined army of those five kings, although many were slain already, that army was still huge. And Joshua knew, if we are going to take care of this army all in one day like God wants us to, we're going to run out of time. Now they got there early morning, but they're still running out of time. And so this is crazy what happens. So Joshua speaks to the Lord, and in verse number 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, like the sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And verse 13, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Joshua was like, God, you wanted me to destroy these people today. I'm running out of time. Sun, stop moving. I need more time. And for 24 hours more, the sun stayed. Did you catch that? And so the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted to not go down a whole day. And there was no day like that. That's an understatement. Before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And as you're fighting the battle God wants you to fight, you're going to have to ask God sometimes to do some pretty incredible things. And God can do those things. But God wants us to ask for those things. Joshua asked God to stop the sun. I think we have pretty good leeway to ask God to do some pretty incredible things. And because if we're fighting the battles God wants us to fight, He can fight for us. And He can do things that we never thought could be possible. And we've seen God do that, haven't we? In our lives, in the lives of our church, and I anticipate that God will continue to do these things as we fight the battles as a church that God wants us to fight. We'll watch His hand at work, and He will do things that are just incredible, and we'll see them, and we'll just be amazed by the way God works and fights for us. Incredible. And so, the five kings, they see that God was doing this, and they all ran. Verse 16. But the five kings fled. Like, uh-oh, we bit off more than we can chew here. And the five kings, not the armies, the armies are still fighting. These four yellow bellies, right? These kings who got all these guys in this fight against God, now they're running. And they hide in a cave in Makkedah. And it was told, Joshua was saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave. And so Joshua heard about that, and he commanded great stones to be rolled over the mouth of the cave, and he trapped the kings inside, and he said, you keep fighting those armies, okay? We'll keep the kings there. Let's keep fighting, okay? Verse 19, and ye stay not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into the cities. And so the armies, the kings are hiding in the caves. The armies are all running back to their cities that are fenced and defended, and they're running, and Joshua says, chase them down, get as many as you can before they get into the cities. And that's what they do. Yeah. And why? Because, again, Joshua reminds them the last part of verse 19. For the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. And Joshua continually reminds them, God is doing this. God is doing this. You keep fighting because God is doing this. And so when they were done chasing them back to their cities, they go back to the cave where the five kings were hiding. And Joshua had the kings brought to him. Look in verse 24. And it came to pass when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war which went upon him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And so Joshua goes there, he goes back to that cave where those guys were hiding, they move the rocks out of the way, they pull the kings out of the cave, and Joshua says to his people, put your feet on their neck, showing that they're defeated. And God did this. He says, put your feet on their neck. And verse 25, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed, as they have their feet on the necks of the kings of the entire region of Canaan, and God has given them victory. God says, fear not, nor be dismayed, for be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Joshua says, God took care of these guys. God, listen, God confused that army. God gave us, first of all, strength to make it all night to that army, and God confused that army, and God sent hailstones on that army. God stopped the sun for 24 hours to give you victory over this. Remember this day, Joshua says. And he says, the same God who is doing this will fight the rest of your battles too. And afterward, verse 26, Joshua smote them, the kings that is, and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded and took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had been hid and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this day. And so he kills the kings, puts them back in the cave, covers the cave back up, and the writing of Joshua, that cave was still closed up again as another memorial. And God seems to be about this memorial thing, right? Remember the king of Ai, remember Achan, remember the stones in the river. God wants us to remember his power as they go along. And when they would walk by this cave, at the writing of Joshua, as they would walk by this cave and see it closed up, and the kids would be like, hey, what's the deal with this cave? Why the rocks in front of it? And they can explain to them how that God sent hailstones and stopped the sun for 24 hours so that we can destroy the five armies. And there, how do you know that? Well, because if you were to go in that cave, son, you would find five dead bodies, and those are the kings of five cities that God took care of. Yeah. Joshua fought their battle. No. Yes, he did. But God did. God fought their battle. And so then Joshua and the army went and destroyed the rest of the hill country. That's really, as you read through, you'll just find that they smote. They went back and they took those cities. Remember how they were fighting those soldiers and they ran back into their cities? Well, there were not very many soldiers in those cities. And so Joshua and his men went city after city after city after city after city and took the entire southern region of Canaan. And it was no problem. And just like Joshua said, God fought all of their battles. Yeah. And he gave them the entire southern region. And you might say, wow, that's pretty crazy. Man, they shouldn't have even been in this situation, right? Again, the reason this all happened is because they made that pact with Gibeon. And because of that pact with Gibeon, the entire southern region of Canaan all gathered together. And Joshua was able to go wipe them all out at once. And God took their bonehead decision. This is the power of our God. And he took their bonehead decision that they made and probably feeling guilty about and wishing they never did, which is right and appropriate. But God is so powerful that that bonehead decision, he used it to get all of the southern armies together in one spot and made it easy for Joshua and his men just to take that entire region. Up until this point, it was one city after one city after one city, and now it's five cities, and then all the rest of the cities of the southern kingdom of Canaan all came with one quick, easy skirmish. The blessing. And God did that. And God did that. Listen, in spite of their disobedience, in spite of their lack of trust in God, God blessed them because he forgave them of that, and he's moving them forward now. And now they were following God, and when you follow God, he'll fight your battles. God will fight your battles as you follow him. Yeah. And all of this took place. Why? Well, really, here's what started it all, is that Israel immediately just did the right thing by keeping their pact with Gibeon. Hey, when we make bad decisions, we get ourselves in a mess, and if we find ourselves in a mess and God has forgiven us, that doesn't mean we're out of our mess all the time, and we need to be men of character and accept the responsibility and accept the accountability and accept the consequences and just do the right thing. And so they had to go down and defend these guys who tricked them, but it was the right thing to do, and then God promised to fight for them. And so they knew they were doing what God wanted, and so they attacked these armies of the Amorites. And here's the thing. They entered the battlefield, but God fought the battle. They entered the battlefield. God fought the battle. And for God to fight your battles, you need to enter the battlefield. If you know what God wants you to do, that's good. Now go do it. And don't be afraid. God said, I've already given you the victory. You just need to go in there and do it. And when you do it, I'll do it, God says. Are you seeing that? I've told you what to do. I'm going to do it. So when you do it, I'll do it. How are we doing? You can be confident that as you follow God, he'll fight. It doesn't matter the enemy. It doesn't matter the opposition. It doesn't matter how difficult the fight looks. All you need to do is enter the battlefield and trust that God will fight. You do need to enter the battlefield, though. And you do need to draw your sword. And you do need to be ready to take some action on your end. But in the end, it's going to be God who gives the victory. If you know God wants you to talk to somebody about the Lord, he'll give you the words to say, but you've got to go talk to him. God's not just going to bring him over to you and just like take control of your mind and make you say things. No, you have to still take the action to go talk to that person. And then God will give you the words to say. Are you following? This is how it works to follow God. If you know God wants you to stop something, if he wants you to stop smoking, you do need to throw away what you have and then trust God to keep you from buying more. Are you following? You do need to take action, but even as you're taking action, you know it's God who's going to take. He's going to do it. Are you following? Yeah. If you know God wants you to serve in some ministry, you can have confidence that He'll help you do it. It's not a question of if you have the ability to do the ministry. It's a question of if God wants you to. And if God wants you to do something, then you can have confidence that He'll do it. But you're going to have to do it. Are you seeing it? He'll help you sing that song, but you do need to practice, and you do need to come up to the platform, and then He'll help you do it. He'll do it, right? He'll help you play the piano, but you do need to practice, and you do need to get on the piano bench. God's not going to pick you up and put you there. God didn't teleport Israel from Gilgal to Gibeon. They had to travel. And it was grueling. It was a long night. But God did it. And they did it. He'll help you minister to those kids. But you do need to prepare. And you do need to enter the classroom or enter the fellowship hall or enter the nursery. But if God wants you in that ministry, He'll do it, but you have to do it. See? He'll help you preach that message, but you do need to study. He's not just going to open your head and cram words in there. You do need to study, and you do need to walk up to the pulpit, but He'll do it. You see? If it's what God wants you to do, He'll do it. And so really the question is, what does God want you to do? How do you know what God wants you to do? Well, you do like Joshua did. And you come before God with an open heart and say, God, what do you want me to do? You can't assume what God wants you to do. That's what He did at Ai, isn't it? Oh yeah, small army, this is what God wants, just send that in. No, you have to get with God about it, don't you? You need to pray about it. And you need to be in your word, and you need to be getting godly counsel about this. And whenever we know then what God wants you to do, now you do it. And when you do it, He'll do it. See? Easy. Yeah. It did take action on Israel's part, but it was God who did it. And this is the last thing, we'll be done. And when you do it, when you know, okay, I know God wants me to do whatever it is. I know God wants me to talk to this person. I know God wants me to give this thing up. I know that God wants me to do this or that. Whatever it is, when you have confidence that this is the battle God wants you to face, and then you go ahead and you enter the battlefield, when you get to the battlefield, you got to keep trusting that God's going to fight. Because when you get there, it might look intimidating, and you might see a huge army. But you just need to keep reminding yourself, like Joshua did, but God's already given us the battle. They slew a lot of people with the sword. Hailstones killed a lot of people. Hailstones. But there were still so many that 12 hours of daylight wasn't enough. That's still, I mean, they did a lot, but there's so much still left to do. And they might have been tempted to get scared and nervous, like, oh man, I got myself in a mess. But they had to remind themselves, didn't they? No, I'm here because God wants me to be here. God sent a man here 10 years ago. And it was a battle. He knew God wanted him to come here. Pastor Moore did. He knew he did. And he showed up and there were three people. And it might have been exciting at first, but eventually it became, are you sure? But he had to remind himself, and God had to remind him over and over, no, I have you here, I'll fight the battle. And God did, didn't he? But then as he and God fought some battles, and I showed up and I saw and I jumped in there with them, and he and I watched some battles be fought, and there were some exciting times, and we saw hailstones coming down and taking care of business. But then after it's over and the dust settles, it's like, oh my goodness, look at the army is still there. And we just have to keep reminding ourselves, no, God put you here. He'll fight the battle. And he did. And he did. And he did. And now God's moved into Arizona. And God's going to fight battles there. But God is still fighting battles here. And, you know, when Pastor and the family moved on, maybe some of us in our hearts were like, oh my, what's going to happen? But God's continuing to fight the battles. And we just have to remind ourselves that God's going to do it. And I have a feeling that here soon, we're going to see some hailstones fall. And we're going to see the day stopped for 24 hours. And we're going to watch God do some amazing things. And then it's going to happen. And we're going to get excited. And then it's going to maybe slow down again. And we're going to say things like, oh, well, our youth group isn't as big as it used to be. And our choir's a little bit less than it was. And we're going to say things like that. And we're going to start to not trust God again. But we're going to have to remind ourselves, no, God has us here in Falls City. God has battles for us to fight. And we need to trust that here soon, God's going to do something else awesome. Because God will fight our battles. We just have to follow Him. And we have to follow Him with confidence. And follow Him with a positive spirit that says, yeah, I don't know, I mean, there's still a lot of army to fight. But I'm, you know, God's going to handle it. I don't know how He's going to handle it, but God's going to handle it. And we can't be the soldier in Joshua's army that's like, are you sure? No, we don't need that. We need to be like, yeah, Joshua, I know. God's already promised it. He's going to do it. Let's go do it. And when we do it, He'll do it. But if we show up and say, I don't know if He's going to do it, He's not going to do it. Are you following? Yeah. And so as you follow through with what God wants, you need to constantly remind yourself, God is doing it still, and God will do it. You might be tempted to lose faith in God's ability, but you got to remind yourself, the one who stopped the sun for 24 hours, He's going to keep doing it. You might be tempted maybe to even lean on your own strength and say, uh-oh, God stopped doing it. I better start. No, you better not. We just keep trusting that God's going to do it. Remember this. God has already given you the victory. You just keep fighting the battles that God wants you to fight, and you watch Him take care of it. Sometimes He's going to use you, but you're not doing it. God's using you. God is doing it through you. Sometimes He's just going to full out do it, but it doesn't really matter. All that matters is that we follow Him and watch Him do it. So go fight your battles, because God will fight your battles. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your power. Thank You that we can trust You. Thank You, Lord, for what You've already done. And God, we've seen the hailstones fall. We've seen the day stop. We've seen amazing and miraculous things. And God, we're just excited to see what You're going to do next. Help us, Lord, to think that way. Help us not to lose sight of who You are. Help us not to get into a rut and into a complaining and negative attitude about all of this, because we're still in the same battle and You're still the same God. Help us to trust You as we follow and watch You do amazing things. And then in our personal life, there's battles that You have us to fight. And again, sometimes we just feel like it's not going to happen, but help us to trust that You've already given us the victory. Help us to follow You. Help us to make sure we're in the right battle. Help us to be in tune with You that way and follow You. But God, as we follow You, help us to be confident that You're going to do it. We love You. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. as God's worked in your heart, to play a song of invitation, and we'll deal with God tonight.